That's no moon.
Hello there. My name's Cockles, and this is That's No Moon, a Star Wars Legion podcast, episode, I think, 70. Today we have the regular, and we have a guest. So let's just play his regular theme tune. Terrell!
Hey! How are you, man?
I'm not bad, thank you. Not bad. You know what? I'm wondering if pop culture will evolve it to a point that maybe when we have a guest on, we'll end up having to play different, a much more pop culture song in for intros, such as any K-pop Demon Hunter things, because that is stuck in my head.
I told you to watch it. My voice without the lies, this is what it sounds like. What? I told you it was worth watching, right?
Oh man! I mean, this literally happened two weeks ago. Hallie comes up to me, my 3-year-old. She's like, "Daddy," I was like, "Yes, Hallie. Can we watch Demon Hunters?" And I'm like, "Have you watched it? I don't think so. You shouldn't. You're a bit young." No, I've watched it here.
PG.
And I was like, it's a 9 apparently, and she's not. So I was like, okay, and I put it on. Obviously, I haven't watched it, and the only time I haven't watched it until Sunday, just been, as in me, I watched it in bits. And bravo Netflix, is all I have to say. Catchy songs that stuck in my head.
And what's your favorite song?
This is what it sounds like. That one.
No,
it's that or Takedown, to be fair.
Takedown's good. It's your idol. Listen, cause I'm preaching to the choir.
Can I get the mic a little higher? Oh, do you know what your idol is? It's growing on me, but the thing is, this is what it sounds like. Just why do we? Oh no, I can't do it. Anyway,
I'm all for just a K-pop episode, K-pop Demon Hunters episode.
You can. Ollie as Zoe, you and Mira, me and Ruby. God, there we go. Look, I know the names. Oh, what's going on? Oh,
yeah,
moving on.
Great,
moving, we need something on. Moving on. Moving on. We have a guest on today. We have a guest who was the runner-up at Tropper Pace Open, and all-round good guy and bits and bobs. Now, in his line of work, he does investigations. I've managed to do some investigations of my own, which led me to this theme tune. All right, play. Should play. Can't not have that intro and not have that doodle doodle doo bit. It is Mr. Nathan Hool. How are you?
Hurrah! Yes. Hurrah. Yeah, thank you. I'm old enough to remember the Pink Panther episodes. I am that old.
You probably will guess as to who assisted me with certain things. And when I was speaking to this individual and said, I need to have an intro, just let's have some background info. And then he said, oh, he's from Sheffield. And I went, well, that's Arctic Monkey Sword. And then he said, he does this as a job. Went, nope, sod that. He's having Pink Panther now. That was just literally just like that. So that's good. Nathan, thank you for coming. Welcome to the show.
No worries.
Good. I'll do your Cilla Black intro very shortly, but in the meantime, we're going to say a big thank you to our Patreon supporters. Information key for you lot in a wee bit, because we're doing a giveaway, a special giveaway in a bit as well. So that's coming on. And in today's show, we will be talking. I just need to ring up the agenda again because I do. I just remember things because I'm old and I'm forgetting things. This is what we're doing now. So I'm saying thank you to the Patreon supporters. Without you guys, it makes it harder to do what we do and all this sorts of stuff. And then Nathan, intro. Nathan, what's your name? Where'd you come from? Tell us a bit about yourself, love.
My name's Nathan. I'm really old. I've been wargaming since probably all you lot were born, from about 1996.
No, you're fine. Don't worry.
No, keep going, mate. Yeah, older than that.
So. Yeah. Did Warhammer. Won the GT at Games Workshop, so completed that one. Moved on
completely, mate.
Armageddon, Warhammer, is it 40k Armageddon or whatever it is, the little miniature ones. Did that for a few years.
Oh, that's an epic.
Epic. Yeah. Yeah, a really tiny one.
That's a good game. That was one of the first to you to me type games where I take a turn, you take a turn, I take a turn, you take a turn concept. And then I did Hordes and War Machine for about 8 years. Privateer Press, an American steampunk system. And then they did a fine job of imploding that. And so it was then when I jumped onto Star Wars Legion about 2 years ago. So it's a similar, very, very clean rule set where there's none of this, is it page 77, is it page 1004? And then in 10 minutes later, let's roll the dice, and on a 4+, it's to your favour. So been doing Star Wars for the last couple of years, really.
Nice. And I suppose the key intro, for those of you who don't know, you might need to know why I played the Pink Panther as the introduction, really, because they'll be going, what? So why might I have done that?
Because for a living, I am a private investigator.
That's it, people. You heard. Keep yourselves to yourselves. Yeah. And
I was expecting Poirot as a theme tune, really. I know he's not from Sheffield, but...
Poirot? Yeah, I don't know. There's not much you can do in Agatha Christie intro, really, is it? But Pink Panther is just much more comical.
It is.
The other one I did dabble in was the what's her face from America. The last it just popped in my head. It's gone. The woman. She's an older lady. She's a PI. It's Jessica Fletcher. Is her name? It'll come to me later on. And
Yeah, Angela Lansbury.
Thank you, Angela Lansbury. That's
you should have just left him hanging, Nathan.
No, but you know the thing that she does. Murder She Wrote. Thank you very much. Bloody thing, brain. Yeah. So that was the other one I had in my head.
Crazy like a fox.
There you go. That'll Columbo. Yeah. I want to know and that sort of stuff. But anyway. Says that. But you sent me an image of something yesterday, and I'm more than happy to share that information now. You sent
me. Well, I'll share the other image then, because that'd be better.
Oh, okay.
That would be my own podcast that I host, Diary of a Private Investigator. I think I'm up to about episode 15-ish, something like that at the moment. So I just get up and tell the stories that I've been... that I get up to. I've had a few guests on, but in the main, it's all the juicy stories that I get up to. So, yeah, it'd be great if anybody wants to have a listen. Diary of a Private Investigator. All true stories. None of it's made up.
Nice. And that's all on the where all good podcasts are finding paper places like Spotify and your Apples and all that sort of stuff. Yes.
Yeah. Wow, it's everywhere and nowhere, baby. That's where it's at.
If anyone is wanted to remember that later, I'll find a link and I'll share it in the show description later on. So that's all good in there.
Good man.
Now, Nathan, you placed very, very, very well at Triple Base Open. Tell us about the list you're running, and tell us what your thoughts on the event, and then tell us what worked well and all this sort of stuff.
Okay. Like I said, I've been playing about 2 years. I started on Rebels, then I went to Clones, and then about 10 months ago, I picked up Ewoks, and then I got selected for WTC. And on the team that I was on, Liam Alford was playing Ewoks. So I played them for about 6 weeks, and then very, very quickly had to play Clones nonstop for about 8 months. So once WTC was over and done with, it was a case of going back to the Ewoks and picking them back up. Interestingly enough, the very last game of the WTC was against the French team, and it was me and Liam against Antoine and A.N. Other, whose name escapes me, and we were debating who to put into whom, and I thought, well, I may never get to play Antoine again, so why not use it as a great learning experience? And obviously he's got a reputation of knowing what he does with his Ewoks, so I played him.
He's the birth child of the 14. He's the birth child of the 14 Ewoks, isn't he?
Yeah. So I played him, but unfortunately he got the flop and he got breakthrough. And so I learned absolutely nothing other than clones can't play Ewoks on breakthrough. I even said to him during the game, I says, I'm a bit disappointed that we've got this, because I actually wanted to know what Ewoks do, other than obviously just run all over me. So I got tabled on that game. So came from that, and then I've played maybe 10 games with them. I purposely don't copy lists. I'm sort of one of these people that likes to find their own, what they like and how it works. So I didn't copy his list. There's about a spare 100 points or so that you can kind of play with and do various things with, other than the main one, which I know Andy wants to talk about, as to whether you have Chewie, AT-ST Chewie or Chewie on foot. And I did have a quick dabble with Chewie on foot, and it just doesn't work. It's not quite there, which I can get into if you so wish. So I had a few practice games with that. So it's kind of like the standard list, but with the spare 100 points, I decided to go for a big unit of skirmishers, because I like things that do things. I'm not a massive fan of six-man units that just hold POIs and then melt away as soon as the shot.
Well, let's just break down your list very quickly now, just for the benefit of those listening. So Han Solo, so it's 13x, 1,000 points on those. Han Solo with up close and personal. Wicket with Dwellers and Tenacity. C-3PO on his Todd. Leia with Improvised Orders. Low Grey with Ingredients. Skirmishers and a Squad and Call to Arms. And a second Skirmishers, no Squad, with Call to Arms. Rebel Troopers with Ion and Officer. Rebel Troopers with Ion and Estromech. Slingers as a Slinger Squad and Dwellers. Times two. That's a Slinger Squad and Trapper, excuse me. And then another Slinger Squad. So three Slingers, one with Dwellers, one with Trapper, and one just as nothing else. And Chewbacca, let the Wookiee win. So there's your list.
Oh, all the Slingers Mega Squads, aren't they?
Yeah. Slinger Squad. One's got a Dweller, one's got Forest Dwellers, one's got Trapper, and one's got nothing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because you're scouting part of the other two, so everyone has scout.
One has scout one, the other two have scout two.
So when you're playing, what are your happy dream missions that you want to play? I mean, I've got your conditions here, so obviously I'll just call out your battle date, just to advanced intel, ordnance, cunning, deployment, standard. Breakthrough, shifting priorities, close pocket. Recon, mark targets, and surface scan. What is the secret, the super special happy play that you want? What makes you go, yep, that's me done. Thank you very much.
I think, obviously breakthrough is very, very good for Ewoks. But because I've been playing clones for sort of 8-9 months solidly and dodged it like Billy-O, it's actually my least practiced deck. Or least practice scenario. So it was a bit of a weird one. It was in my hand, and it was almost a case of whenever it came out, it was an auto veto by my opponent. So it was almost, and it's a, to be fair, it's a little bit like the pass one, which name escapes me, the green one where
advanced intel, yeah.
Yeah, I actually prefer cunning deployment. So I prefer the dodgers. So that's in my hand, and you put it down, and people will veto it. And I'm actually quite comfortable with that, because I'd rather be very, very defensive on turn one and have the dodgers. So it was in my hand, but I never got to play it. So I'm more familiar with the scenarios of my opponent generally. So obviously, if I could have got that, I would have got that. And obviously, the super squad slingers are massively telegraphing that you want to play your three pit turn one. And so going in with that, I I changed the deck. So a little bit of history. I played Jeff Porritt with Chewy on foot. And it was great learning, because obviously he was doing the double land speeder go last malarkey, and he just got the drop on me and he stayed out of my range, and so without ATST Chewy your ranges are very, very limited. And the other downside to not having ATST Chewy is standbys. You can just aim standby, and then as soon as the Ewoks go running up to do their 10 black malarkey, they take a shot first. So that's why he's in the list.
Who did you drop in that scenario to put on foot Wookiee in?
To be fair, it was two lots of skirmishers with call to arms. And then I'd gone heavy on upgrades on the characters, and I'd also I'd filled out the rebels as well, because interestingly enough, what I found playtesting the list is actually the rebels are pretty darn good, and the skirmishers, the slingers go up there and do what slingers do, and then slingers die. And then what I was finding is in the middle sort of turns, the rebels were actually holding their own and doing well. And obviously, with the proliferation of CIS and droids, the ion guns. I know Antoine takes the shotguns. I prefer the ion guns because it's range 3 instead of range 2, and you generally get 3 through armor with a crit and an impact. And what have you. So you're kind of getting 3. So they were quite good. So I just kind of shaved it all off and he sort of slotted in quite nicely.
I think Ion at the moment is the underrated but most effective thing at the moment. Well, not most effective, but one of the highest effective but underrated things at the moment.
Into troops, it's really good because of the critical.
Yeah.
Critical one, and then you've got a solid dice pool behind it normally.
Yep.
What's the rebel one? Is it one red, two black?
Two black, one white.
Two black, two one, and a white, yeah. Oh, same as the snowtrooper, isn't it? Yeah. And it gives you that nice hedge into armor, or even droids. Like if droids are running mega B2s, just iron them.
I was sad because I could only take two units, to be fair. I was kind of running two officers because I had loads and loads of Inspire, but about a week before the tournament I just tweaked it a little bit and just put I thought the two officers were probably overkill, so I swapped one out and put the droid the repair bot in just in case Chewie got ioned himself, just to strip it off. And I thought two was, if you put two in, people will never target Chewie. Whereas if you put one in, it's only 8 points, and so it doesn't really matter if you don't use it. Was the thought process there?
Would you say playing the Ewoks suits? Because if we talk about some people's styles, for example, Ollie, when he's played his Blizzard Force, is quite cagey with the speeders, where some people race up, or Lila, who's very super aggro when she pushes forward, and she's in your face in a drop. What would you say your sort of style is?
My normal style, and this goes back to the days where I used to play chess, is I would always have the queen piece, and the queen does 70% of the work, and everything else kind of supports the queen. So I would always lose a game of chess if the queen went down. And so when I play this game, I've been running sort of Anakin traditionally a heck of a lot, and also Yoda. And then the WTC list, I actually use both in the list just because they complement each other so much. So it is a change of style running Ewoks because you don't have that one killer piece. And obviously, I know if you look at Chewie and go, he's gonna kill the world, you're looking at him wrong, because that's not his job. His job is to not be killed and support, but also obviously that the army lacks impact, so he's there to take out the other vehicles. So it isn't really my style, which is a bit weird, but I just wanted a complete change of scenery from playing clones that hard, I just wanted to run something else. And they are reasonably forgiving. But when you look at who I played and the tournament and the top sort of 12 lists, it's clearly something I wanted to touch upon is that I think the CIS, if I can speak, double Aqua, double or triple Droidicas list is very, very difficult. And so I played three CIS and three Rebels. So people are taking the Rebels with the double land speeders to counter the CIS. And so I kind of, I wouldn't say fell foul of that, but that's what I was up against.
So when you're bringing Chewie in that kind of scenario, then in the AT-ST, what is his role? Because I found when I've been running Ewoks and running Chewie that I'd kind of put him on a flank to try and secure a POI with maybe one or two units. So it's like three units securing a side flank if the opponent had no armor. But I still struggled to delete that one or two units that I was contesting against. So I'd still win because I've got more activations, but he never ever like earned his points and chewed through them. No one ever shot him. Even when I switched to running no repair droids, like you said, like you brought one just to give you that ion repair. But I found that just people just ignore him because they don't see him as a threat and he doesn't seem to pump out a lot of dice. And that's me shooting on turn one. As well,
he's. I'm going to use my A level psychology here and say that the sum is greater than the whole. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. The Gestalt theory. He does lots of things. I found one of the games in particular. Do you know what? I haven't actually read a rule book in probably more than 20 years. I learn all these games by playing them. So. Forgive me if I can't remember the obvious ones, but
no, I know that feeling. Don't worry.
The secondary one, which is the suppression one.
Bring them to heal.
Yeah, that's that. I played Jeff with that one, thinking that you'll never suppress all my units. It's fine, but obviously he just suppressed lots and lots of units and went one point up. So the inspire that he has is quite key. And I played my third game that I played against CIS. Was incredibly tactical in working out order prioritization and making sure that the pieces with the Inspire went last to strip it off. And it just does work. It's one thing that can't get suppressed. It can shoot twice. It can shoot at range four. He's just really good. Like I said, his role isn't to kill the world. There's a couple of examples that I've got, like, I played Dave Grant with his double snow speeder, I think quad Tauntaun list. And so, again, something else that we've not discussed is the cards. I had change of plans in my hand. And because in this current meta, everybody wants to go last. There's obviously the double land speeders that want to go last. There's the double aquas that want to go last. And so because I'm not 14, 15 acts, what I did is I put change of plans in and I played it turn one. And because they obviously then play standing orders. And Andreas picked upon it in last podcast where Finn didn't tell him what I was going to do, which thank you, Finn. So they obviously play standing orders. I play a change of plans. They then have to play the three pip. I then play standing orders, and that order then goes on Chewie. So when I put down Chewie last, it's almost like I've then roll reverse because they were going to go last with their big hitters at range four laughing, and all of a sudden I've got my range four big hitter waiting for them. And so when I played Dave, I noticed obviously his snow speeders literally just came on the edge of the table in a corner and they were more scared. And he actually said to me, he says, how does incognito work? Do I have to sort of get in range one? I said, to be honest with you, Dave, I don't know because I always shoot him turn one anyway. I've never not shot him. And it kept him keen. It kept him back. And it's the same with the land speeders. The land speeders don't come air arsing on. So like I said, the people expect me to play the three pip turn one with the slingers, but Jewish role comes on last and counters things.
I also think that having for cards like that, and the only one I can think of that has that throwaway, Andy, you might correct me, apart from the hand thing for Grogu. Now we have a 5-turn game, and you take 6 command hands, well, effectively 7 because you've got standard orders, 6 of your choice. Having a card that can do an effect to either do what you do or the hand thing for in Grogu's case. Is there any other cards that do that, Andy, or mine? I don't think there is. Is there? There's no like quote usable cards at some point like that. Is there?
I mean, there's the couple of divulges which you have to discard, for instance.
There you go.
Asajj kind of style and Maul as well.
Okay, so yeah, so having those that effectively 6 cards to give you
a freebie,
tactical strategic flexibility, or of want of a better to make us sound posher than we are. it can. I think that's really, really, really good thing, and I quite like that. Yes, just making everyone go pitfall. Thank you very much. Oh no, not anymore. Play a different card, thanks. I can. Yeah. That's really handy. I think that's pretty fucking cool. You touched on it, so I'll bring him back up the cards. So the rest of your command hand was, so he had standing orders, log traps, arboreal assault, brains and brawn, sneaky scouting, change of plans for the tribe. Now I'm going to confess, I've not played against Ewoks enough, and I've not played Ewoks, so you need to remind me what some of these cards do. But tell us about how they work and when they work and what makes them work for your list specifically.
So like I said, I think I pretty much played change of plans first, because you've already said you've got seven cards, so you might as well just use one straight away. So I pretty much did that turn one anyway, and always got sort of the last drop. And then turn two is either going to be for the tribe, the three pip, where the three skirmish units get relentless, so just double move, shoot, or log traps, depending on what damage you've done. So I think against Finn, he came on and shot one of his land speeders at Chewie, actually. My very, very first activation was Chewie. He came on with a land speeder and shot Chewie because he'd not got back up. He was in cover. So he shot Chewie and then actually did the astromech and shot him again, which it killed Chewie. But for me personally, I don't get much use out of Chewie. Chewie's one of those that I used to just stick on the flank and do nothing with. And he's one of those pieces that with Compel or the other one that he's got that he can make the Ewoks move even if they're suppressed.
C-3PO's got Compel, yeah.
Yeah, so it's one of those things that if you use it once in a tournament, it's absolutely key. But for the other 30 rounds of the tournament, you don't actually use him. So he's generally my first drop. But when Finn did that, I shot with Chewie. And I think he'd only got he got something like 2 wounds left or something like that from memory. So then I go to log traps turn one, and I managed to finish it off because log trap activates before anything else. And as I found out against playing Antoine, it goes off even before you get your surge tokens, because he did it against me with clones.
Oh, interesting.
And it was ruled that because he's going first, it's the player who's activating's choice as to whether you get it or not.
I'm just going to read log traps. For those of us who aren't Ewok players, pick one, start the activation phase. So this round, one Bright Tree Troop unit contains an Ewok trap, a miniature they will make an attack using following weapon. Range 1, 4, impact 4, pierce 1, 2, red, 3, black. Andy, you might be able to... Nathan, you were saying it happens before anything else. Sure, do you not get your surge tokens? When do surge tokens come in terms of activation phase and command card phase and all this sorts of stuff?
So reliable is at the start of the activation phase. And then as Nathan said, the command card for log traps is, so it's the, whoever has priority will get to determine which one you resolve first. So if Antoine was facing rebels and they had no reliables, then he would choose probably to gain his surge tokens first, so resolve reliable, then the log traps, because his slingers would then get a surge token. But then, obviously, against clones, it's more beneficial that they don't have surge tokens, and he, because he only gets one. Clones get, you know, half a dozen, depending on what how many core units they're running. So yeah, no, it's a really interesting decision point there to choose to either gain the surge token or just shoot. So.
So go back to the question. You generally turn two. You're either playing the three pip or the one pip, and because you've got with the Ewoks, because you've got five commanders, five core, three support. You kind of. I know Antoine's list has got something like three improvised orders. I'd only got four improvised orders. I thought, for me, I thought that was a little bit excessive, because you generally, as a whole, you're almost 50-50 on your bag. So you kind of, there's never really a time where you need to go first with something. It's only if you play log traps and then get chewy, that's normally sad times, because you want to keep him back a little bit, for his inspire. But sometimes, because of his guns and you've already put out some damage, he just finishes things off. So, and then from sort of turn three onwards, I generally adapt to what I'm playing against and what my opponent's doing, what I'm playing. There is no set. It's not like Yoda, where you kind of almost expect it's going to be 3-2-1. With the Ewok cards, part of the strength of the list is the cards are so bloody good as well. Sometimes you sat there thinking, I could play this one. Oh, I could play that one. Oh, and you've got a wealth of choice. That's one of the strong things about the list.
I really like the brains and brawn in it. Because I don't know if it's really seen outside. I don't recall seeing it since early waves. I think in Brightree, it's pretty bloody good, because you can add his. I hadn't even tweaked that and gone, oh, that's pretty. I'll do. Thank you very much.
That
was another one on my list of reasons why you take ATSG rather than Footchew, because there's nothing worse than doing brains and brawn with Footchew, and you're like, it's all right. And
so, in the version I'm running, I'm not even taking any Chewy, because you run out of command slots. Yeah.
No Chewy in Ewoks.
14 acts.
Crazy.
And that's because every squad's a mega squad.
I tried that. That was one of the lists that I tried. Because about a year ago, when I first started playing them, I was running skirmish mega squads and playing the three pip on them, but obviously you have a light bulb moment and you're like, why would you do that? You might as well just put on the slingers, because
the slingers are still mega squads and you're still playing the relentless for them, but then you've got your four, because like in the version that like you and Anton run, I found, as you say, like the six man stabby boys are great at just holding a POI and just being really annoying that you can only, it's hard to kill them. But they didn't ever contribute very much other than scoring your points, which obviously is what you need to win. But I found sometimes like I needed an extra bit of a punch once they were there. So having all of them as melee squads, them having charge as well, on turn two you have the three mega slingers shooting, and then you've got two melee squads that can charge. That's five units with relentless, essentially, which is pretty big. And they've got forest dwellers and stuff like that on the melee squads as well, so it's fairly easy for them to reach your opponent's POI and threaten it, and also be in melee and stab stuff.
Are you telling me you don't fancy? Sorry, I was about to say, are you telling me that you don't fancy five red? five red, two white, two black, surging crit impact three.
Yes, it is very good. I think sometimes, and maybe this is just obviously I'm probably less than 20 Ewok games at the moment, but I sometimes found that I'd end up putting Chewie and Leia at the wrong end of the boards. or wrong end of the deployments, so that it wasn't maybe until turn five I could even play that card, and by that point I've probably won anyway. So I found that, or one of them was dead, like, so you can't play anyway. I found that's probably definitely a lack of experience, and maybe there are still times in games where you do split apart anyway. I've found that, as I said earlier, that he didn't seem to have a huge impact on the game in whichever way I tried. Like, I tried moving him and not shooting him and just sitting there on a POI and being annoying and then revealing him, and I just found that was a waste of points. And then I like the Nathan approach that turn one, move on, shoot. And yeah, if he survives, great, he's shooting every turn. But I just found sometimes, like, I shot some rebels, I scored like three hits, and then they saved all three, and it was just like really demoralizing. When is the dice pool's not mega consistent?
I think a couple of things there. One is what I was finding with the list that you're trialing is that because you want to get into combat turn two with your skirmishers, you almost are too aggressive with them on turn one.
Yeah.
Because you're pushing everything up. You're sort of saying, oh, here are five units that you want to shoot at. Which one are you going to shoot at? But because it's a I go, you go type of game system, what I was finding is you want to get in position with your skirmishers to charge turn two. So you run them up, and then your opponent just shoots them. And then they turn into a six-man unit. And then you do the same again with the other unit, and then they shoot them, and you've got a six-man unit. And then your skirmishers, your slingers go up, and they do what they do, and then they get shot. So when you then get to turn two, your mega melee squad is actually no longer a mega melee squad. It goes in, and even if you've got an Axer in there for the PS1 red dice, yes, you'll do damage, but you don't tend to wipe out the unit that you thought you were going to charge. And so it was almost, because I was probably going down the same road of you, thinking that that they're all red on the rally dice, so suppression shouldn't be an issue.
No.
And also the number of bodies on the board is going to be an issue.
Yep.
And the way that I play my clones is I don't take vehicles in the clones list, because if your opponent has chosen to have impact in there or things that counter vehicles, by not having a vehicle in your list makes them, they'll have spent points that they're actually not going to use in the game.
Yep.
So for all of those reasons, I was doing what you were doing, but I just found that it didn't work for me. And I just think that, like I say, I think the key to it is that if Chewie can come on last, if you're facing double land speeder with an astromech, which can pretty much 66% of the time drop ATST Chewie, if you're coming on last and doing it that way, you're only ever then going to get shot by one of them. And then, like you say, then if you then, the one that you shot with Chewie, you then do log traps, finish it off, you then only got one coming at you.
It's interesting hearing how, like, the priority of, like, you're giving your order to Chewie, because when I was running Chewie, I was using the, like, with Anton's copy list just as a starting point, I would use all of the improvised orders to pretty much get Chewie as the last thing anyway. If I was Verse Ion, otherwise he'd be my fourth from last drop, because then I'd bring on all the slingers as my last drops.
Yeah.
I think there was a point, as you say, like, even when you're running 15 acts, your opponent gets enough passes that you only get one activation after them if they haven't got an advance intel. So I think, as you say, like, having, getting to get guaranteed to go last potentially with two units, one slinger and Chewie, because you've made them play a free pip, is quite a good play that I hadn't tried out myself. So maybe that makes Chewie then a better scenario, because, as you say, I was worried about getting ioned or blown off the table with Chewie.
Yeah, you just have to make sure that, like I said, I mean, the games against the rebels that I had were easier games compared to the games that I had against CIS. And I think that's probably because of the play style that I had and what I've just described to you there, is that they're only ever going to get one shot off with the land speeder, and it's my priority to kill the other land speeder. So there's only then got one shot. He's obviously got, if he goes last first, but obviously because log trap goes before anything else, I've already killed one. So what tended to happen is like you described, not very many people shot Chewie. I don't think I lost Chewie at all in the tournament because people ignore him. But
yeah,
ignore him, and he's triple rainbow, so it does do work. And yeah, there are times against the Rebels with the double dodgers, and they get a great cover save, and you just think, flipping heck, I've just spent 180 points here, and he can't even kill a 60 point squad.
Yeah, that's exactly how it feels. Yeah,
yeah. So. But like I said, there's more to it than that. But if Asmodee are listening, I personally think that vehicles should have at least pierced one, just so they're absolutely guaranteed to do our wound. Because there's nothing more disheartening than having a super vehicle of a fifth of your army that can't even shoot rebels, that aren't even wearing armor, they're wearing bloody cloth. It shouldn't be. So I think vehicles, to make vehicles better, should have pierce.
As a double tank user, I can fully condone that.
What are you saying? No, I actually agree. I
think you kind of want it's like an anti-personnel thing, isn't it? Like if shooting troops that you gain pierce one. Yeah. As long as it's a non-unique character. I think there's so much like you have to think about that with because you don't want to gain pierce into characters, because that seems a bit weird. Like characters should be able to survive a tank shot. We've all seen episode 8. Was it Crate? Was that 8?
Yeah, but he wasn't actually there.
No, but the whole point is he was there, but not there.
Because he just went and brushed himself. I'll offer a different keyword for you. Blast. Heavy vehicles of that ilk should have blast, because the cover is just going to get blown away, if that makes, for want of a thematic explanation, if that makes sense.
I just think if you've been hit by like the world's biggest bloody 0.88 laser, then your chances are you're not going to survive it. You're not just going to, it's not going to bounce off your stormtrooper. Is it really? Like, I mean, if you're a Jedi, you might have got some sort of shimmy shake going off to dodge it and what have you, like a bit of a chameleon cloak. But if you just rank and file and you get hit by that, then
you've got no plot armor.
Yeah,
you have no plot armor. Yeah. Well, it's funny you should mention. It's funny just before you mentioned that, just to intercede. I am currently chatting to AMG to say, hey, Will, either of the Wills, to come on an upcoming show. So while I have the attention of people there, if you are a patron, please start thinking of some questions that you might want to ask AMG, and then we can put them to them, because they do need vetting beforehand. So yeah, we can put that to them and just say, hey, what do you think, and then they can ask those questions in an upcoming show. So keep that in mind. Anyway, sorry, keep that in mind.
They just broke the conversation flow now, because I forgot where I was asking.
You were talking about tanks, and it's because I needed to remember it. You were talking about tanks and keywords in there. So you were saying about, so Nathan said about maybe tanks don't pierce.
Yeah. I think you did sum it up right, though. I think with the way I've currently been playing, I have been flinging the Ewoks up the board as a, you need to deal with this mass of wounds. And yes, they get an activation to retaliate. And obviously, as you say, like your mega squad is no longer a mega squad by the time it gets there. But I do find that the mass bodies do give you an advantage in that way of playing, if your opponent can't deal with it and doesn't have the dice pool. Because I don't know if you found this, was playing Ewoks, that I played Austin the other night, Joe, and we played Close the Pocket, and he was playing 9 Axe and to my 14.
With lats?
Yeah, of course, double lats, yeah. silly boy. He was playing double lat, Ahsoka, Anakin, and some core. With arfs and stuff. It was not a great list, but I laughed at him after I put down my second unit on the board, and I laughed at him, and he's like, what are you laughing at? I said, oh, I've won the game and you can't win. And he was like, what? And I said, well, you've got 9 acts, right? And I've got 14. So you put 9 all on the middle, I'll put 10 on the middle, and then I put one either side, and I've still got 2 units put where I like. And that's without me killing a single thing, and you, none of your units can one-shot my units, other than C-3PO or Wicket. I think was the closest. Even with Wicket, he can't. He'll struggle to kill with Anakin unless he's playing a one or a two pip. And he was just like, "Oh," and like his face was quite hilarious. But it was the first time I've come across with Ewoks that you can win without pretty much doing anything, because obviously there was no attrition on my side. If I didn't do anything, I could win. He has to attrition me, but because I've got the high activations, it's still also easy for me to attrition him to keep that parity and therefore automatically win in the game. So I don't know if you've encountered that scenario at all, Nathan.
It's a different way of playing. It's a different mindset. When I first started playing this game, all those many, many years ago, two years ago, it was the I'm going to shoot you, you're going to shoot me, I'm going to shoot you, you're going to shoot me. And I think coming from Hordes of War Machine, I kind of hit the ground running, because I was used to scenario play where it's not just about shooting each other and who rolls the best dice. This is not 40K, which is why I don't play that game.
Yeah, exactly.
So I was already used to moving and always making and planning your turns ahead. That turn what you move turn one, because on turn two you've already decided whether you're in range when you move and shoot. You're in range of the POI, so you're planning out your turns. So it's not like that. So Ewoks are different in the fact in that, yeah, you do out-activate. I mean, Ewoks were a nightmare before before they changed the cover rule, because with low profile, you shoot Ewoks and three of your dice were taken away instantly. It was a nightmare. So the cover, I think, is a fairer and a more balanced way of doing it. I agree, that's what it's weight of numbers and number of activations, which is why we've seen the number of activations go up right up to sort of 13 to 15 is kind of, well, 13 is more of an average, whereas when I first started playing the game it was more like 9, and if you were 10 or 11 you were the extreme. And by the end of the game, I mean, quite often a lot of my games were I'd lost probably 60-70% of my army, but I probably only lost two or three units. So when you look at the points that my opponent scored, they didn't score very many, but they'd killed absolutely loads. And sometimes you feel like you're getting hammered, and then you suddenly think, well, actually, you've not really killed that many units, because I've still just got ones or twos lying around. So it is a different mindset playing Ewoks, definitely. It was very refreshing.
Yeah, I've definitely found that as well, coming from playing droids in Empire, where you kind of like focus down just killing stuff, where Ewoks it's, oh, actually, if I just focus the objective, take a mega early lead, and then eventually they will out attrition me, but it's too far gone. Like, I've won games in that regards where it's just like, I just need to score one VP and they cannot like catch up with me, because I've scored too many too early on, and I've got four units left and they've got still eight, and it's like, yep, I'm still winning. You've got to table me.
If I can give you a top tip when it comes to playing the Ewoks, just picking up on what you said earlier on, is you with your three Inspire pieces, you must have either Chewie or Leia in the middle, and then you have Chewie or Leia obviously on the flank, so they've got the bronze card to play always, and then then low grey goes on the other flank, so you've always got the entire board covered. So one of some of the mistakes that I was making is I wasn't split up my Inspire pieces. And so, because the Ewoks are only courage one and don't lose suppression at the end of the round, that's when you're like, ah, I needed this unit to either double move and score their POI or do something. So I had a game just before I went to the tournament, and that's like kind of like when the penny dropped of like, ah, this is how I need to set it up. I mean, obviously Liam's sort of one of my regular playing partners, so it'd be remiss not to mention him, because he was the Ewok player that we took to WTC. Although he only went 4-2 and I went 5-1 at Chopper, so
I mean, who is the current best Ewok player? I mean, it's got to be you, right?
Yeah, well, I'm on the show.
Yeah,
that's great. I mean,
I love the banter between you two. There was one. You both message me, and you both always go, "Oh, Liam this or Nathan that," and it'll be like moaning about each other, but you can tell it's in the same way that like I'll moan about Cockles or Ollie, but then it'll also be like trying to one up each other. It's like, oh, I'm playing into Nathan this week with this list, and I'm like, cool, let's tweak this, and then like, oh yeah, and then it'll give me like a battle rep on how he did or didn't do.
But the game that I played, I think the day before went down, he wanted to try out ATSTs with flamers. who knew? Guess what? Flamers are really good into Ewoks, apparently. So that made me smile. But I know he does regularly beat me in practice games, and he can't get his head around it because he's like, I can beat Nathan all the time. Like, why? But I kind of just say, like, the practice games. I'm learning things. I'm trialing things. I'll do this and see what happens. And more often than not, I try things out and they don't work. And then that's when you then use all that knowledge to go to a tournament and you apply it. So I don't mind losing practice games. It really doesn't bother me. It's learning. You learn a lot less from winning games than you do from losing games. So that's why games are practice, and then in tournaments I switch on and go into a slightly different mindset.
That was like me and Mr. Haslam when Haslam was still not when he was not in Australia. We'd always play each other because he was local to myself, and he'd beat me in the practice games, and the times we'd encounter each other in a tournament or an event, it was the other way around, we couldn't get our heads around it as to why, but then it just worked out that way. It's always quite fun.
I like the same with Alfie's dad, where I will struggle to beat him in practice games, and it always annoys me, especially like I'm going off to Worlds and I'm like, I've put my list into him feeling confident, and then he just puts jank on the table, smashes me, and it knocks my confidence. But then if we ever bump into each other at a tournament, I always get the win at the tournament.
Yeah,
and that's the one that matters.
Well, that's it. That's where it counts.
You touched on that a minute ago, and said fire is the Ewok's, it's not the Ewok's friend. What, without delving too much into that particularly, is there anything that you would say, yeah, that's the kryptonite outside of flamers, obviously, because I think flamers speak for themselves?
I think that is the kryptonite for Ewoks, the flamers, definitely. You generally get your units one shot. No matter what's firing, whether it's Din or whether it's an ATST, you're lucky if you get one that survives, just because they're only saving on blocks. They don't surge unless they get a surge token, which is neither here nor there. So yeah, they melt very, very quickly.
Quite literally. Touching on to your games then, so I'll just go, you played and game one, so you played, I haven't got the names, but Andy, you might be able to know the names better. I've got the things. So I've got Cress 987, unless you know the name, Andy.
I think he was called, I'm pretty sure he was called Alex.
Nickel.
He was new to the game, but he told me that he was the current Slaanesh champion, either the best player in England or the best player in the world.
Oh.
So he's from a gaming background, but he's okay. New to Legion.
He'd be one to watch.
And he took CIS.
One to watch.
That tells you where he's coming from.
What is it Palpatine says at the end of episode one? We should watch your career with great. Something. Oh, I can't remember.
Irish. Palpatine's like Irish.
We should watch your career. we should watch your career with great interest. That's the quote. Then he played a young lad by the name of Jack Southampton.
Yeah,
something like that. That's it.
Yeah, I recognize him with his mop of hair and his moustache.
He's very much rocking the old
horn tash,
yeah. the biker tash. I will just, I'm going to put that. So you played the first game you played shifting and recon 112-6, low scoring game with 182, 134, and then 12-6, and then Jack was 16-4. You killed 492. He killed 61.
I think honourable mention to Jin. So Gin Erso. So we're playing the game, and the first two rounds were quite close. It was sort of nip and tuck. I'm going to kill a bit. You're going to kill a bit. I'm going to move up, and I think we ought to call Gin Marco Polo, because she took the absolute longest route around the board to try and flank me. And I think it was turn three. I just finished up snowballing him, and I finished up getting 9 points on turn three.
Ouch! Yeah, bunker surface scan on that one.
Yeah, he dropped. I killed a scanning unit, moved my scanning unit, blew up one of the bunkers, and scored the other three POIs. And it went from close game, oh my god, I've just scored 9 points and you've lost, just as Gin came round the corner to go surprise. That was good.
So then game three, you played Lloyd Turner, who was running droids. You won 6-4, you killed 67, you killed 144 on closed pocket Brink the Heel. Then you go into day two, and here we come into the big boys. Game one of day two, Dave Grant with his Echo Base Defenders, and you played Shifting Surface Scan, and you won 15-8. You killed 616, he killed 346. Anything interesting? You said it was interesting for when you played Dave about how he had to be more cautious because of the potential Chewbacca-age that you had. Anything else of note that came into that game?
So day one, the aircon was on. And I said to Josh, showing my age, is there any chance we could turn aircon off? I'm actually cold. he thought I was joking. And then day two we're playing. So day one I turned up in shorts. Day two I turned up in jeans. And I was playing Dave Grant, and we were both stood there sweating. And I'm thinking, is this a sweaty game? And it was then that I realised that the aircon wasn't on, and we were sweating, bloody boiling. But I did take some pleasure. I'm not gonna lie, in looking at Dave, who was just sweating and looking at the board, going, Ewoks are just stupid. Ewoks are broken. What do I do here? Because obviously with tauntauns, with quad tauns, same with staps, with agile, they're great when they've activated. But the turn when they've not activated, they generally die reasonably quickly. So turn one and two, he gets the drop. But I was always in the position that when he was going to go for a shift in priority, he got the tauns lined up ready to go for it. But I got two or three units there. So even if he comes in and kills one, I just counter charge. So it was a nightmare. He was just sort of stood there scratching his head thinking, how do I beat them? So that was good. But and Dave's obviously a great opponent anyway. I like playing Dave.
Yeah. Then next up, you game five, you have the first of the two Germans. You play Finn on Shifting Surface Scan. It's 7-7 and it comes to points, and you killed 4-1-8-2-7-7. What was your takeaway from playing Mr. P. Muller?
Never met him. Don't know him. But obviously know of his reputation because I do listen to the podcasts. So this was streamed. So I was very, very mindful of not sort of phraseology here, but not shitting the bed because I'm playing.
No, that's a good one. That's a good one to do. Yeah.
So I just thought it's just another person. Everybody can be beaten in this game. So I played him. Takeaway was one that I've already mentioned: the fact that he thought that that C-3PO was worth double tapping one of his land speeders to kill him, which then I then got the land speeder start of turn two with log traps, which I was more than happy with that exchange. The takeaway from that game is he positioned very, very well to, I think he went something like, it was something like, might have been 3-1-0 on turn two. He was definitely going to outscore me quite significantly on turn two on shifting priorities, but it was kind of halfway through that turn that I worked out what he was going to do, and so I made the decision to go for the attrition game. So I consciously let myself, which I know it's a bit of a gamble, I purposely kind of went for the attrition to then go ahead to snowball onto turn three. And I know this game was streamed, so I apologise to anybody who's watched it. Two takeaways is, one, I think we both played quite slowly, but the reason because it was such an intense game and everything was minute movements. It was one of those games, I actually say it on stream, is that every single measurement was literally sort of just out, or more often it was just out rather than just in, and it was the same for both of us. So it was a ridiculously close game. We only got to round three, but it got to a point where I'd got a plan in my head and hard dice down got called, and I'd not moved one of my units onto the POI to win. I'd kind of mapped it all out that I was going to win by one at the end of turn three. And then if we get turn four, we get turn four, but probably not. And hard dice got called, and I didn't realise that I was so deep in the tank that I didn't hear the last 15-minute call, if there was one, or the hard dice down. And I was absolutely good, because I was like, I was so going to win this game, I can't believe it. And I think for about 3 or 4 minutes I was chuntering, going, I can't believe I've lost. That just needed to move there, and then that had been it. And then I sat down and I went, and then I looked at the table and I was like, oh, actually, I still score that piece, because there was again, going back to ATST Chewy, he made a clutch move by, I'd got an ATST on one wound, so he shot one rainbow at that and killed it, and then I got an ATST, I think, on two wounds, so I put double rainbow into that and killed it as well, which by doing that, by splitting the fire and being a little bit ballsy, got me the point that I needed, that I actually made it a draw, and then I won on points. So that was good.
Nice.
And then Andreas in the final, what turned out to be the finals.
Yeah.
Obviously, great guy, great opponent, and great player. And I think he was very kind when he was on the show last 2 weeks ago. He played it well, because, like I said, the Rebel. I think I made two mistakes in that game. One was telegraphing where ATST Chew was going to go, because you've got the repair bot, you kind of know that you're going to go quite close. And what I should have done is I put that unit down sort of mid to three quarters through the turn one, and I should have put ATST Chew on the other flank. The other mistake I made was I was too aggressive with the Rebels to get behind cover. And he managed to get a line of sight through a crack in the wall and just start shaving them off. And then the other takeaway was when he did the double aquas on one flank, I was expecting most people will play aquas on each flank and roll up. And when he put double aqua on one flank with Grievous behind and Asajj just off to the side, again, I make a comment of I just can't win this game, and that was ridiculously early at like start round two. I looked at it and I just thought I can't protect that flank. It's just there's just too many wounds. There's aquas are just absolute bonkers. I mean, again, if we're going to talk about aquas, obviously I know they don't like to change rules, so they'll probably go up in points, but they need to, because double aquas and Grievous, Ewoks just can't deal with it. I finished up melting and retreating, and then I couldn't come back to it. So he played a good game.
That is.
What table was it you played on, terrain-wise?
Say again?
What table of terrain was it you played on for the final? I can't quite remember.
They swapped it all around, didn't they? Because I finished I packed up all my figures, and then took all the terrain away, and then put new terrain down. I went, oh, by the way, you're back on stream, so I had to get all my figures out again. But
it's game five against Finn on the sportsperson table.
There was something like a downed. Is it a Y wing? I'm not really.
It was. I know which table it was. It was Crafty Terrain's table.
Yeah. It was like a downed Y wing, so that the two wings kind of created a V shape. I thought I was obscured, but he could see through the gap, and he shaved all the unit. He picked on the Rebels because they ion guns, and then he kind of shaved, and then it was just a rolling ball of wounds. And then if I charged in or tried to come in, Grievous was just going to mop up. So Yeah, it was hard. The CIS at the moment, that for me is the list to beat. I think that is a hard list.
To paraphrase Mugatu, CIS, so hot right now, so hot right now. Yeah. What was your, other than obviously finishing runner up, which is damn good, what were your key takeaways from the whole event itself?
Obviously, a great event. The place itself was good, very, very spacious. Yeah, the judges were good. I think Josh is a little bit racist. He clearly doesn't like the British, and took great pleasure in the Germans winning. But yeah, everything was great. Loved it.
I think he took not pleasure in the Germans winning. He took pleasure in every English loss.
Yeah. Mm.
That was the...
And there was a lot more of them.
And there's a lot more. There's a lot more of those. Which, yeah, but yes, pesky Joshua. No, but I can.
And also, honourable mention to the scoundrels who did a chopper base review on their podcast. And then I was thinking, oh, good, they might mention my list and this, that, and the other. And then they went, oh yeah, CIS won, blah 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 blah. Yeah, Ewoks came second, standard. Like all I have to do is just turn up and just move a few figures around and I'll come
standard. Top up. Like there's four of us now, I think.
Yeah.
There's you, Killy, Liam, myself. I know Jeff and Lila are like dabbling in it the same as I'm dabbling in it as well. But like there's only two or three like hardcore Ewok players and most of you aren't regulars. And I mean, this is probably the best you've ever done at an event. You've done always positive from what I remember. Like you've always gone three and two or 4-2, right?
It depends. I won a world's ticket. I won a 32 man tournament with the club.
Okay.
I do. There's a few at the sanctuary, but they're generally one dayers, so you'll get three people on 3-0. So
but 2 days, this is your, like, especially of a 100-person event, like, you know.
Yeah, I think,
this
is... Yeah, for the number of people and the international players, then, yeah, it's up there.
What did you do at WTC? I know it's obviously different, but...
You said 5-1, right?
No, sorry. I went 3-3.
Oh, the cool people go 3-3, mate. What happens?
But in my defence, I think I was either second or third highest 3-3.
Okay.
Because I lost to Andreas. I lost to, was it the Swedes who came third?
Might have been off top of my
head. Either Swedes or Switzerland. I'm sorry. You both begin with S and you're both Nordic. But I played the guy with three, it was Tempest, three ATSTs and about 6 or 7 units of scouts. That was a hard matchup.
It might be the same Patrick I played. It's Patrick from Sweden. I played Tempest, lots of scouts, three ATSTs, tall guy, blonde, nice guy.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I played him as well. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I had some tough games.
Did you and I basically play the same people? Because I played Andreas as well at WTC as well. Yeah. And we both were playing clones. Cool. I have a final set of more comical sort of thing for you. We had a young listener by the name of Geoff Poirot. And he said, because you've got a guest on, could you ask him to read out the following? Because he's from Sheffield, and I said, oh, okay. And he asked very kindly, and he's a young lad. He just said, could you just please say, you bastard, because you're from Sheffield, and Sean Bean is from Sheffield.
And that's obviously from Sharp.
Yes.
So true story.
No, go on.
Sean Bean.
Yes.
Lived on the same road as me.
Oh, I've picked... Look at that. There you go.
Well, so, and because my wife always takes the piss out of me because she's posh. She's from Derbyshire and I'm from Sheffield. I say Dart Road. And I used to live on Beaverall Road. And Sean Bean lived on Beaverall Road.
Just
Dart Road from me. Bastard.
You crafty little bastard.
The other one that he said is, could you please say, one does not simply walk into Mordor? Because obviously Sean Bean was Boromir, so yeah.
One does simply not walk into Mordor.
One does not simply walk into Mordor.
There you go, Mr. Poirot. Yeah, I hope you're happy now.
I'm absolutely sold on the Sean Bean living down the road. He is like a childhood hero for me. I grew up watching Sharp.
Same.
Like, that was TV mainstream. My mum's favorite TV person. She had a huge crush on Sean Bean. Yeah.
I can't say the same thing, but no, Sharp was me because there's a history stuff and it's just like, yep. And him and Dara O'Malley running around beating up the French was always quite funny.
Indeed.
Beat Bottlethwaite.
Yep. Oh, what a villain. Was all I'm going to say.
Yeah, he was a great character.
Great villain.
Silent Hill, underrated, but a good film with him in.
He's in it. Forget he's in that.
He is in it. He's really good in it.
Well, the amount of films you can name for Mr. Sean Bean coming out there would be quite fun.
And how many can you name where he survives to the end?
Oh my God. I struggle. I genuinely struggle.
It's because there isn't one.
Is there not one? There must be one.
No, he even dies in Sharp.
I've not seen him die in Sharp.
He was in a series, wasn't he? When he went
to the Battle of Waterloo.
No, he doesn't die in the Waterloo. He might in the books, but he doesn't.
Pretty sure in the show he dies in Waterloo as well.
No, he 100% doesn't, because he then goes on to India.
Yeah.
And does
Did you know? Have you read the books? Do you know the original Sharp's a Cockney?
Is he really?
in the books, he's a Cockney,
which makes absolute sense as to why he commands the South Essex, which is down the road from me. So because that's the Chelmsford regiment, isn't it? So that does make sense. But but he doesn't die in Sharp's Waterloo.
I thought he died at Battle of Waterloo. I haven't seen it in years.
His two mates do, and that sends him into a rage spiral where he wants to kill to shoot the Prince of Orange. Daniel Hagman, Barris, they were my men, mine. And then he goes off to try and shoot what's his name? Bettany, Paul Bettany was playing Prince of Orange. Anyway, Paul Bettany. Sorry, I'm sure. Is he from up your way as well?
He might be actually.
Apparently, there is at least 6 films according to Google that he does not die in.
I was going to say there's got to be at least one. Although one of my, you can name the favourite deaths on Infamous is the old GoldenEye when he's Alec Trevelyan and he dies for England, James. No, for me, and just down that sort of thing. Anyway, this is a Star Wars Legion podcast. Moving
on, a good Sean Bean.
can't not. What we got? Interlude. Right. So giveaway. So some time ago, myself and Justin Reed were talking, and Mr. Justin Reed, awesome painter that he is, and awesome hobbyist. If you don't know who he is, check out his stuff, which is Fat Man and Dead Boy Painting. I'll check on it later on to make sure. I'm pretty sure it's Fat Man and Dead Boy Painting on Instagram. He has given us, in return for us donating to a charity of his choice, which his name has gone to me. It's the charity to help injured bikers, and I'll post the name up in the description later on because that's going out of my head. So we've purchased via donation his model of the Obi-Wan Kenobi model that he converted in the Mandalorian armor from Rebels, and with that we'll be running a giveaway. So in a month's time, we're in the beginning of September now, so in October we will announce a winner, and the way you can win that is by being a Patreon supporter. If you are core level 1 entry, mid-tier level 2, super level, commander level 3 entries, more chances of winning. And then we'll pay the postage and send it off to you, that sort of stuff. Pictures will be associated with the post that we put on Facebook, etc., etc. So that is a giveaway that we are doing, and I will try and remember the name of the charity later on. That is that. And that is the giveaway that we are running right now. And Jack will have finished his limited edition Grogu as well. I've got to grab that off him at some point.
Since you're mentioning Patreon stuff,
yes.
I've literally just emailed a sponsor of Shopper Base to commission a reward for all our Patreon members, because obviously I said I'd take over, and I've had my finger up my butt and not done anything in the same way that Cockles was. So we should have some proof of concept designs coming through soon for range one and a half and range halves from Cogger 2 with our logo and stuff, which I will be organizing to send out to our Patreon members. So if you sign up obviously sooner, if you are not a Patreon member, then that will include yourself in that batch of goodies.
Yep. So give it a month. Anyone in that will give it a month, and we'll do the announcement, and that'll probably be in I'm just gonna look at the calendar now so I can get it accurate. 23rd, 30th. I would say that would be
October.
End of October. I'm putting a beginning of October there somewhere. So I was going to say, screw it. We'll do it end of October
because people are longer to sign up.
Yeah, people are longer because you never know when people are signed and that sort of stuff. So yeah, the show that is towards the end of October, either something along the lines of after the 28th, something like that. And that is that. Moving on. Next on the agenda, which has now disappeared out of my head. Upcoming releases. Andy, this is what you commit to. We're just a reminder. We're in a great space at the moment with stuff that's just come out. Obviously, we've just had the Rebel Commanders and the Agent, and same for the Imperial Agent, Imperial Officer, come out as well. I think it's now a good little time to remind people what has just come out and is what is due to come out, because it's a really interesting, exciting time, right? Because it's making people come back into the game who might have just stepped out of it because of the rules changes. Because now everything seems to have settled down. It's a case of everyone going, right, let's get into grips with this, because now there's not all the flux and change with cover and blah, blah, blah that was maybe probably about this time, about a year ago, if that makes sense. So what's coming out, Mr. Terrell?
So obviously, as you said, the Rebel and Empire Commanders have just dropped. I know some stores have them, some don't, kind of part of it. The droid and clone ones, I believe, are due to drop the following month. So there's about a month delay between them. And then the starter set should also be dropping around between, again, with a month delay between them. I believe the Civil War era starter sets drop first.
Yes, they do.
And then the Clone War ones drop. All of the card packs have started dropping as well. I picked up a bunch of some of them from my stuff. I pick up Mercenaries and all the CIS, and then I'm going to pick up Empire, and I'm going to have to pick up some Rebel ones now as well. just for the Ewoks. So obviously it's great. The Heroes of the Rebellion is out as well for Rebels, and then the Empire one I think is not dropping for a while. So it's great that obviously you've got all this repeat stuff for new players and get them in because the game won't exist without new players coming in. But obviously for people who've been in it for a long standing, where's all the new fun, new stuff coming out? So Q4, you have, so literally the next couple of months, the last 3 months of the year.
Q4, isn't that more January? Because that's the finance, they go financial quarters, don't they?
No, I believe, because it's not a financial, it's usually, because Q1 would be January, February, March.
Yes, well, yeah, obviously, but when she's Q1s and Q2s, I always just naturally go, financial quarters.
No. Well, financial quarters are done yearly. It's not based off of the, because each country does different financials. So a financial quarter for stock market press releases is January, February, March, etc. And I'm sure Dave's going to correct me on that.
Mr. Grant will be on it, but no.
There's the real finance man, but yeah, go with as ways, far as I'm aware, ways. When a company refers to financial years, it's January, February, March, Q1, etc. So sometime between October, November, December, I'm going to guess late, so November, December time, you have the Clone Trooper Marksman. So if you have a bunch of
DC-15 dudes,
DC-15s, you can finally run them as another core unit for clones. So you can have two core unit choices.
Hooray! About bloody time is a different, slightly different core choice on there.
Yeah, ARC Troopers are dropping, obviously as a reprint for people. But the thing that I really care about, and is the thing binding my time while I'm playing Ewoks, General Grievous on the bike drops in Q4 this year. And then the Q1, you've got the TSMEU6 personal wheel bikes, which are like the
Grievous bike friends.
Grievous bike friends. There's a Magna Guard driver on it and a BX driver. Don't know what the fuck they do, but their models look fucking gorgeous.
It should be said, and we've touched it before, The mm-hmm. what I know, forget rules for a second. From a pure hobbying perspective, there'll be loads of people. Yeah. Like, this is really cool. The sculpts from before, cool. They were fine. They were some were below par. Some were good. Now we're going into the realm of okay, the artistic the sculpts on these and the artistic on stuff on them is actually pretty damn cool. The dynamic Ahsoka models are pretty cool. I really like the Jedi Commander models. They look really good. The Jedi Guardian, that come in the arse. You've got a couple of options you can do with it. Put with a hood, without a hood, put the cloak, without a cloak, different lightsabers. So there is a bit of dynamism going on with it. And we've started to see that more with the officers, commanders, agents, etc. And it seems like that is now the way forward. Yeah, okay, it's still not like GW have like a billion options for one different space marine, that sort of thing. But it's still progress that we didn't have before, and the hard plastic and stuff. So there is definitely faith in the game going forward and that sort of stuff. So I'm looking forward to seeing loads of different models around that, because there will be loads of really different cool stuff. So from a pure hobbyist perspective, it would be quite fun. Nathan, what do you reckon? Are you into your painting, or you know? I don't know.
I was going to say, it's just a shame the Jedi's aren't going to see table time. Well, at least the nice models.
You mentioned that. Where are they? That's Heroes of the 501st. I thought there was... Oh, the custom Jedi are out next month, aren't they? So...
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, those Jedi.
Those Jedi should. That's the ones you're on about, isn't it?
I was on about like the ones in the arfs that you just don't.
Oh, play. Like the Jedi Knights, like
the Jedi Guardians.
Yeah, the ones in the either arcs or arfs, but you just don't put them in either because they're kind of counterintuitive. Sure.
Yes, I completely agree. But there's nothing to say that you can't run them as your Jedi commanders when the custom ones come out.
Yeah, I think that's what that will be quite fun with.
Because I think there was a leak the other day, wasn't there? Like the sculpts show, someone put a post up of like the different ways you can build them. Like I don't know if we saw cards, but we definitely saw sculpts. But Q1 for 2026 is also, we've got Han and Luke on Tauntauns coming.
There's my one. Just as I put stuck in with the hood, not great with the camera, stuck in with the hood. Decided to go double lightsaber using the force power. So he kind of looks like anyone who's played Knights of the Old Republic, the original, kind of a hark onto, what's the name? Bast Lashan. That was the idea. Yeah. That was the idea anyway.
So Q1's going to be fucking busy because you've got the bikes, Han and Luke on Tauntauns, Imperial probe droids, Imperial High Command, which is when I'm switching back to Empire.
Shock. Not shocked.
Just because it's got my favorite character in it. Like, I love Thrawn. Like, I love a blue man.
I'm sorry, what now?
I love a blue man.
You'll love Vegas. The group full of them.
Oh, yeah. Especially when they blow themselves.
Whoa.
What blue man group are you watching?
I know.
Have you never watched? What is it?
You're watching a different Blue Man.
I think you're on about the show in Amsterdam, aren't you? Not, yeah, Las Vegas. Not Las Vegas, where they blow themselves.
Yeah. And revealed slightly things about his life we didn't need to know.
Yeah, you all want to know. Heroes of the 501st is getting a reprint, which is Anakin, Obi, Rex, and then I'm assuming that's Fives and Echo in there as well. And then 3D objective tokens as well. So that's the official POIs and non-POI markers, so your asset tokens. That's the word I'm looking for.
Is that Rex wearing his impervious armor?
He is, which he is not impervious, though.
I know, that's what I mean. Like that's the big hint when the next rules tweet come out.
They... Could well be. Could new unit cards, you know, it could be anything like that.
That would be nice.
And then the last things that they've announced for Q1 is Weequay Pirates with Hondo and the WLO-5 speeder tank. And then I did notice, as I was just scrolling down, Q1, they didn't list it in the article, but it is in the timeline. Battle Pack 2, which is obviously the new mission deck that they've always, they've kept on alluding to, which is also quite scary and cool because that means it'll drop before Worlds. Because everything I've just listed, and the reason why I stopped there, because there's a few things I think that are in the timeline are all mostly reprints. I don't know if there is anything actually new in that list. It doesn't look like it is, but everything there is pre-Worlds.
Yep.
So as I say, you've got Thrawn, Tarkin, and some fat podgy dude, and Krennic in that pack. So they're all new. You said like Rex might get a redo because he's got some new cool looking armor. Obviously the pirates, the pirate tank, Hondo himself, Sith probe droids. There's so much. There is quite a lot of new stuff. Yes, it is mainly Q1. There's a few things dropping Q4, but there is lots of excitement to come.
I'm not just to put out there. I don't run a business. I obviously don't run a business, but my brain's thinking: if you've got loads of really cool stuff coming out, why not put it in Q4? Because then Christmas happens. This is like it's good.
Q4 is one of the hardest things to prep for because of the Chinese New Year and stuff, isn't it? Like they manufacture it for the Chinese New Year, ship it, and get it ready and prepped for distribution at Christmas.
Thank you for that explain. I did not know that was a thing. So now you've learned something new every day.
I think like it has it because like when you're planning stuff for release, it's really hard. Like the manufacturing slots for obviously this Legion is manufactured in China, as far as I'm aware. Or I think they're shifting it to the US due to or trying
can't think
to.
Why.
Yeah. But like obviously there's a you kind of go, oh, we get a time slot, we get to print our stuff here for 3 weeks or whatever, so we do a mass manufacture, and if we print enough or don't print enough, we'll never know. And then like as soon as it's printed, the next thing goes in, and it will probably be something not related to your company. Like the print manufacturers will just run 24/7 and you just get a time slot and you put your molds in and off you go. But then obviously once they've been manufactured, you've then got to ship them, and boats aren't fast. Last time I checked, they then need to be packed at the warehouses. So I think I was told that they get manufactured in China, shipped into the US, they're packed in the US by hand, and then shipped out. So even the stuff that comes from to the UK goes to the US to get packed and finished manufacturing, then shipped to the UK distribution.
Okay.
They might do, like, obviously I'm not any way affiliated or anything. I only hear breadcrumbs through associates and little whispers in the wind.
And also just putting out that if that's a question that someone asks when we have AMG on, I'm going to go with they probably won't answer it. Just an FYI. Cool.
I mean, I bet you they halfly might not even know.
Well, there is maybe that as well. I just designed it, man. Yes, you're right. It'd be an Asmodee thing. Not
yeah. AMG will just put an order in with Asmodee. Asmodee will tell them it's getting manufactured here and then.
Yep.
And AMG probably just go, sure. Yeah. They send in the required files, and Asmodee probably just print it and go. Nothing wrong with that. Nope. Like,
so, moving on then.
Focus on the good stuff.
Moving on. So, that's that. Heading on to the last parts of the show, we will go into events. We haven't really covered what's coming up into, because this is kind of like post, outside of LGT, post shopper base, it's kind of like, now what you got going on? Now, well, for me, then what you got going on is, I'm going to click on legionevents.app. If you are hosting an event and you are wanting to advertise it, go to legionevents.app, and there is a bottom link at the bottom that says, here, look, contact us for help or to provide feedback. But you can also collate the data in there, and that goes to that young man called Jeff and Elliot. They sort that out, and that goes on here, and that goes not just the UK, it's worldwide. So I'm gonna click on the first one here. I am clicking on 2 weeks to 3 months, and I'm looking at Padawans in Portsmouth, Saturday 29th of November, down in Portsmouth. That'll be Sarah Bowser's lot, and always, well, great community down that way. I gather there's quite a lot of people there, and also having seen some of the tables, some really cool stuff to play on. So that's one for you guys down there. Moving on, You've got the Wales GT on Saturday, 15th of November, and Sunday, the 16th of November. That'd be Jose's lot. Is that Firestorm Games? Am I right in remembering?
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. So that's in November, but slightly sooner. You've got This Is the Way, Saturday, 11th of October.
I think they've got like less than 10 tickets left for their event as well.
Oh, wow, there you go. So that's that. So you've got the next one is the before that, you've got in October, Saturday, 11th, This Is the Way, October. I think that's also Firestorm. Just double check, make sure it's not two different people because it's in the same city. I feel like it probably is. No, it's Firestorm still. So yeah, so speak to Jose down there who will be able to help you out with those. Moving on, moving slightly further into Worcester, the Star Wars inspired prize pack on Saturday the 18th of October. That is, I'm just clicking on the event now so I can get more information. Worcester, that is at St. Stephen's Church Hall, St. Stephen Street, Worcester. That was an event by Ben Adkins. So if you're in that area of the world, head over there. The Inspired Prize Pack, second edgier, darker instalment. So yeah, click on there and head over to the Facebook link. It will tell you more information, three games, awards presentations, etc. Moving on. Now, it's not on here, but I know it's there. Spooktacular on the 4th of August at Element Games in Stockport. That is definitely there. That is Sam Page's event. I don't know why it's not on there. It's not stressed. 4th
of October, you mean?
Yeah, 4th. That's what I mean. Sorry, it's 4th of October. That is a GT. But it's three games minimum, and then if you make the cut, you go to the game four. If you make that again, you play the final for game five. So it's only five games if you do really well. So for me, if just waiting on green light from the long-haired general, for me it'll only be three games. For other people, it might be four. And for two lucky people, it'll be five games. A pure endurance event. However, despite that, it'll be a great event because Sam's events are very, very good. The one I went to, I had really good time with. I'm going to go with Nathan. You've probably been to a few more of Sam's events than I have, being up your way.
Yep.
Yep. Anything that I've missed out on Sam's event, the Spooktacular for that one, or is that just sort of summed it up nice and succinctly?
Yeah, no. I think Sheffield lads are running Beskar Bash. I think that's the 8th of November. Week before Welsh. I think there's 14 tickets sold, two left. Contact Liam. I'll give his mobile number out in a minute for everybody to ring him.
Nice.
But yeah, I've been over to Stockport. It's sunny. It's wrong side at Pennines for me. So when you hit all the rain clouds, you're there.
Nice. I know that Andy, you've got your regular events of MK Peterborough combination of the two coming back.
Yes, so War Games Workshop's opening its second new big store in Milton Keynes on the 20th of September. Weren't able to accommodate us because they've got too much going on that day. So
good for them opening a second store, by the way.
Yeah, it's been in the works for a long time, and they've got I think they can do like 40K tables, which means it's about 30 odd real tables of gaming, which is still great. Like, it means in theory I could host a larger 2-day event there if they get their act together and we can sort of come to an agreement on that.
Nice.
Obviously it won't be of the scale of Chopper Base. It would just probably be applying for a GT status and get it to run at the store, which would be a good thing.
Nice.
For this month in September, I've moved it to Peterborough. It's at the Angle Gaming Lounge. It is on the 20th of September, 10 a.m. start instead of 9, due to the store opening times. Payment on the day, you can either pay cash or card, it's not an issue to me. And it'll be the usual free rounds with prizes for anyone who attends and stuff.
There's also there's one starting up in Alpha soon. I'll get the dates for there later. There are more events going on in the UK, but
LGT.
I haven't. I was about to come on to LGT last because I know it's coming up very, very soon. But I was going to say there's more events going on in the UK, but we need to know more about them because that's where we draw our information from the LegionEvents.app website, and then we can share that. If just to put out there, I know there are various people traveling abroad for various games going on. I know there's at least five people heading over to Germany this weekend, So good luck to everyone at the Im Norden event that Finn is running in Germany, in Oldenburg. Lovely. It's really nice out that way. You have an event on the 29th. This is like well into the future. If you're going down to Rotterdam or anywhere, Rotterdam in the Netherlands on the 29th of June. Oh, why is that showing there? All upcoming and it says 29th of June. There's some feedback for you, Jeff. But yeah. Head over to Legion Events app, and it shows you all the events going on around the world. Finally, as Andy pointed out, LGT.
Yes. So it's Friday the 26th, Saturday the 27th, and Sunday the 28th of September. There's a few tickets left. We've already expanded the event once. See if we sell out again, then they'll be able to add more tables for a third time, which would be nice. It's a great friendly event. Is probably going to be 3 rounds Saturday, 2 rounds Sunday, based on current player count, which means obviously there is a chance for a social. With it being in London, it's probably usually we just go out for a nice meal, grab a beer or two, and then go back rather than karaoke, because it's harder to organise that with the Lee Valley Athletic Centre being the point of venue and there's nowhere else nearby, which is kind of unhelpful. Yep. But it's a good 2-dayer, obviously, not quite the size of Chopper Base, but it is still usually a good event to go to. And then I think that's it, really, for LGT.
That's pretty much it in terms of events.
Yeah, we'll have another podcast before then. So
yeah, exactly. Which leads on to the final bits of fun, which have been like the social and community things that are going on. So those of you paying attention and might be and are playing, I put the word out for a large public charity American Football League a little while ago, and I just want to announce how much money we raised because we did really bloody well. So the way it worked is, if you wanted to enter, you just entered. All you'd have to do is minimum donation of £5 to the Joshua Tarrant Trust, which is a nominated charity, and then you send me a screenshot and everyone goes in there. We, as That's No Moon, managed to raise £405 from 18 supporters and 18 participants, which I think is pretty bloody good. So everyone who took part and is playing and is given up time to play this event, because you'll end up, the winner will get either some Legion product or a shirt, and so that'd be what they'd get. But that's £405 going to a very, very, very worthwhile cause. Yeah, so give yourselves a pat on the back, you lot, for taking part on that one. Andy, obviously, don't forget that we have our Content Creators League as well. That's restarted because the NFL season's back, mate. So just remember to pay attention to your team.
I haven't got a team because you didn't invite me back to it.
Yeah, because it's there. You've got there's Ollie's team there. You're still in it. I don't need to re-invite you. You're just still in it.
Oh, right. By that logic, it's probably done auto-pick the whole thing.
No. It might have auto-picked some of it because you get to keep some players. I'm just looking to see where your team is. Hold on. Tim Paul.
Well, I didn't even know I was in it, so let me just put it like that as a...
I'm trying to find your
point of
team.
Reference for you.
You won without even doing anything, mate.
Fantastic. I won more than I did last year. How annoying.
Do you want to know who you beat?
Jack.
The Doc.
Oh, Doc Velo.
Yeah, you beat the Doc without
didn't
even
trying.
You beat the Doc without even doing anything.
It's just like when I play Legion against him.
Yeah, and Ollie got beat as well. So there we go. But so that's going on, obviously. This will be the third year of this one. So the winner of that league gets nominated charity, and then it goes over. I think we managed to get, I think it was $225 that went over last year to Meeples for Peoples, which was pretty cool. And last but not least, the public fantasy Premier League team. And I thought I'll try and want to do this at least once a month because it's always good fun. I set up the league. I'm trying to find where it is now. The league, leagues and cups. Here we go. It was the That's No Fantasy Premier League team. Of which there are 16 entrants. Some of you may want to still play. If you want to play, just message me and I can give you the code, join in. Hitting up the bottom, Matt Haslam, 100 points so far in the season, mate.
No, he's at the top. He's just upside down.
Oh yeah, because he's in Australia. Of course he is, yeah. I mean, does that mean you're second?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. With Chopper FC, Crafty Terrain at 14th, Joe Austin 13th, Franek at 12th, Ben Crow 11th, Rich College 10th, Tom Hafferty at 9, Chris Boyce at 8, Severin at 7, Ollie at sixth, even though he's a rugby boy. There you go. Andreas, the Arsenal fan, at fifth. I mean, you want the top four all the time, mate. Chris Goodwin at fourth. Josh Richardson, third. Me, second. And Jordan, the card maker, Hatswell, is top by 2 points. It's on, everybody. It's on. If you want to take part in this league, let us know. I can hand out the code. I'm happy to have you out and all this sorts of stuff. It's really good fun. But yeah, thank you for everyone who takes part. Thank you to those in the charity leagues. Thank you to all patrons who support as well. Remember, we've got that giveaway coming up. If you want to support what we do, etc., join our little Discord of chaos. I say that, it's fun. Yeah, it's all in there. The links and stuff will be in the show description from wherever you get your podcasts. Last but not least, checking. Any other business, lads? Nate, is there anything? I know you plugged your podcast just so that was The Secret Life of a Private Investigator. Or have I got that right? The Diary.
Diary.
Thank you.
Diary of a Private Investigator.
There you go. One for people's
podcasts. True stories. Episode 3, when I went undercover in a massage parlor.
Amazing. Can we make jokes about happy endings?
There is a story in there about a happy ending, yes.
Wonderful. There you go. Spoilers for people like that.
I'm still happily married of 23 years.
And is there anyone?
I bet you're even happier with more happy endings.
And obviously, outside of Liam, is there anyone you'd like to say a shout out for and or plug anything else?
I'd like to thank my wife. I'd like to thank my parents. I'd like to say hello to Elliot and Dom. Everybody who knows me, and my dog.
There you go.
Hey, dogs.
Dog. Yeah. Well, look, what are you doing? Don't tease him. He's salivating now at the bottom, isn't he? Oh, don't do it. Oh, he's showing the little dog at the bit. Andy's looking at that thinking, that'll go nice on a skiver.
Yeah, a little snack, that one.
Yeah, exactly. Andy, AOB, anything you shout out for yourself? Anything else?
All good. If you want to grab hold of me, then you can drop us an email at Andy at thatsnomoonpodcast.com or find us on Facebook or Discord as AJST.
Lovely. And I've been Cockles. There's Cockles Faulkner on all the Discords and socials, everything. Cockles, that's thatsnomoonpodcast.com. We'll be back in a couple of weeks, as per usual. If anyone has any questions, queries, etc., hit us up on our Discord. We can bring it up as a subject. I think we'll be looking to do some clever things at some point soon, like maybe some tiers. Not tiers, but that's normally what I do on my events. Tiers and rankings and bits and bobs, all that sort of stuff.
EARS tears.
Not my salty tears of despair, but tears as in TIER. Yes. So yeah. So thank you very much for listening, everybody. I've been Cockles. Even the boys. Say goodbye, boys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. You've been listening to That's No Moon, a Star Wars Legion podcast. To keep up to date with us, please like and follow us on Facebook. That's No Moon, a Star Wars Legion podcast, and Instagram, That's No Moon Podcast.